Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav. Now this is a very, very beautiful and important Mishnah, which actually goes through all of the various ways that the Tumas Masa, Tumas Maga, Tumas Midras, Tumas Heset, and Tumas Mace, where are they going to be? A tremendous difference, halacha lemaisa, given exactly the same situation, a difference between a zav and a mace in exactly the same cases. So let's imagine the seesaw once again. A zav is on a seesaw, and on the other side of the seesaw are Ochlin Umashkin. So then the halacha is that Ochlin Umashkin, of course, are not able to be Mekabo Tumas Midras, because they're not meant for sitting on, despite Ori's intentions, and Ochlin Umashkin are meant to be eaten. And therefore, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter whether the Zav is on the seesaw and he is the heavier one, or the food is heavier and they weigh down their side. Basically, in both cases, it's going to become Tomei, not as obviously Midras, but because of Tumas Heset. And therefore, it will become a Rishon LeTuma. Because if the Zav was the one that pushed up the other ones, that is Heset Hazav. That's the classic Heset Hazav. But the truth is that even if the food is keeping that Zav and up in the air, if they're both in the air, that's what we're assuming, and the seesaw hasn't touched the ground, what it means is that the Zav's weight is still balancing up the food. Because he's not actually on the ground. He's balanced in midair. And that's what happens on a seesaw or a scale where you're close to each other's weight. So even if the Zav is holding it up in the air, it still means that he is essentially carrying it. So it's a heset. And therefore, as long as they're both in the air, if it was already touching the ground, so then, okay, fine, understand. But it's not touching the ground. And therefore, each one essentially is going to be a case of Hesed. And therefore, it's going to be Tomei B'Tumas Hesed, which is not an Avatuma. And in this case, of course, not a Rishon LeTuma. The Ochlin Umashkin are Mekabel Tuma, therefore, as a Tumas Hesed. And they cannot become Tomei more than Ochlin Umashkin, so it could be a maximum of Rishon LeTuma. Now, how about if it was a dead body on one side of the seesaw? Everything would be completely tar. It doesn't matter whether we'd be talking about something that's Roy LeTumas Midras, or we're talking about Ochlin Umashkin. There would be no way to be metame anything on the other side of the seesaw, unless it is a human being. If it's a human being and he weighs down the mace, then he was no say. Yes, that's Tumas Masa. If you pick up a mace or kezayit min a mace, you'll be tame. So this is the opposite of Hesed. The Hesed is where the Tamei lifts up the Tahar, and that's only true by Zav and friends. And Tumas Masa is where the Adam Tahar picks up the Tuma, which would be the case on a seesaw where the person on the other side of the seesaw has suffered a heart attack and is dead. And now that person who moves him and keeps him up in the air is going to be Tomei because of Tumas Masa, and he'll become an Avatuma. Okay, so therefore, we just found that there are things here that are more chamor to a Zav than to a mace. And what it is we've been talking about, are things that are chomer bezav mi bemeit. Now, there's also things that are chomer bemeit mi bezav. So the things that are more chomer about the zav. A zav makes mishkav umoshav mitachtav letame. So in any of the five ways that the moshav, mishkav umoshav, is supporting the weight of the zav, again, whether he's standing on them, sitting on them, lying on them, nitla on them, semech on them, those are all ways in which he would be metame. But not only that, he makes them so tummy that they become an avatuma, and they can even be metame an odam who touches them. And not only that, they are metame and odam who touches them so much that even the begodim that did not touch them, but that he's wearing, those begodim would become tame when the person became tame. So that's an extremely chomor toma. We have nothing like that when it comes to mace. And that is one thing. Now, here comes a brand new tuma that we have not spoken about yet, that is being introduced without fanfare, as if we know about it all along. And as a throwaway line in this Mishnah, we discover a whole new Tumat Hazav, which has two names. It's called Tumat Madaf. It's very important to get used to these munachim because you'll encounter them in so many places and people get so mixed up with them. This is called Tumat Madaf. Now, Madaf equals Elyono Shel Zav. It's two ways of referring to the same kind of Tuma. Elyono Shel Zav is a backwards Mishkav U'Moshav. It's when things are lying on top of the Zav, not that the Zav is lying on top of them. And there, everything on top of the Zav, that never came in contact with the Zav. Maybe it's the princess and the pea backwards. Maybe there's all kinds of things on top of the Zav, and so is the pea on the top. And as I mentioned to you, the princess and the pea was a mistake because it was talking about the princess sleeping on the pea, but in reality, the pea was on the princess. And this pea would be only a real pea and not the golden pea that we spoke about before when we were talking about Goldfinger. This is a real edible pea, and it has to be an edible pea. I'll tell you why. Because if it's not edible, it doesn't mekabel tuma from Elyono Shel Zav, because Elyono Shel Zav is only metame as a rishain, which is why it's called madaf. Madaf comes from the pasuk of kol ale nidaf. When the Torah wants to talk about how easily you become terrified psychologically, that you'll be running from the sound of a leaf moving in the air and touching another leaf, it calls it nidaf. That means it's very kal. It's almost indetectable. That's why this is called nidaf, because it's light, as opposed to the chumrah of midras, which is very chomer, and as opposed even to hesed. So now we have a new tumah of azav. Midras, hesed, and Elyono Shel Zav, otherwise known as Madav. So Al Gabav, it's Madav to be Metame, Ochlin Omashkin, even if he doesn't touch them. And those things, they can be Metame, making them a Rishon. They can be Metame, Ochlin Omashkin. So even if he doesn't come into contact with them, you've got tons of stuff on top of them. Everything is tame because of Elyono Shel Zav, but they're not going to become an av hatuma. So because of that, it will be metame. Anything that was above him will be metame ochlin umashkin, but it cannot be metame kelim. And none of these things apply to a mace. They're simply concepts that never show up in the dinim of tumas mace. Masha ein ames metame. But on the other hand, there are things that a mace can do that will never apply to a zov. Chomer b'mace, a mace can be metame b'ohel. And it's metame tuma shiva. Masha ein hazav metame. There's no way for a zov to be metame the way that a mace would be metame, as the mace would be metame ba'ol. Now, the question is, this does not seem to be strictly true. Because, listen, if something is above the mace, it's going to become tame because of tumas ol anyway. So, right? Remember, tumas ol doesn't mean you necessarily have to be in the same oil. That's one aspect of ol. Tumas ol can also mean you are ma'ahil. Ma'ahil means that you are over a mate. So I don't get it. Something that's over a mate is also going to become tame if it's the equivalent of the elyono shozav, isn't it? Let's say you take all of these things and you put them on top of a mace, and there's no chatzitza between the mace and these things. They're all going to become tame because of tumas oil. There's no chatzitza. You see? So what does the Mishnah mean when it says the mace doesn't have any concept of any of these things, which includes any of these things, include even the Elyono Shel Zav, but Tumas Ohel does everything that Elyono Shel Zav does. That's the problem. So how do you explain the fact that the Ohel will not be the full equivalent of the Tumas Elyono Shel Zav? And how does the Mishnah say, Masha ein kein b'meis? That's the issue. And the answer, my friends, is not blowing in the wind, which is the kol ale nidaf. We're not talking about the nidaf when it comes to the meis. What we'd have to be talking about is where there is a chatzitza, but, take this, it's the kind of chatzitza that only applies to tumas meis, but will not apply to a tuma that's nogea the zav. So remember, a tuma of wherever there's a chatzitza of any kind, I don't care what it is. It could be a chatzitza that's made out of cardboard. It's still a perfectly good chatzitza. It's a mechitza that now prevents the tumas oil from going above it. If there's an empty tefach, right? Fine. But what about if it's a type of thing that is pushable by the Zav? So then something that's pushable by the Zav, remember, is not considered. So if it's something that is just a piece of cardboard and you would have a mace that is lying down on things underneath, they're all going to be tahar because we still have a mechitza. If the mace is directly beneath them, he's not going to be metame, even if they end up weighing down, because after all, we have this floor. Yeah, it's a cardboard floor, but we have a floor that's between them. But a zav is definitely still going to be metame because there's no such thing as a chatzitza between the zav not going up and not going down. And therefore, that would be the difference. Great.